Thank you for calling the Dial a Story Hotline. This is Adventure Story by Neil Gaiman. In my family, adventure tends to mean any minor disaster we survived, or even any break from the routine, except by my mother, who uses it to still mean what she did this morning. Going to the wrong part of the supermarket parking lot while looking for her car, getting into a conversation with someone whose sister she knew back in 1970. For my mother, these are full-blown adventures. She's getting older now. She no longer gets out of the house as she used to. Not since my father died. My last visit with her, we were cleaning out some of his possessions. She gave me a black leather lens case filled with tarnished cufflinks and invited me to take some of my father's old sweaters and cardigans that I might remember him by. I love my father, but I couldn't imagine wearing any of his sweaters. He was much bigger than me all my life. Nothing of his would fit me. And then I said, "What's that?" "Oh," said my mother, "that's something your father brought back from Germany when he was in the army." It was carved out of molten red stone, about the size of a thumb. It was a person, a hero, or perhaps a god, with a pained expression on his rough carved face. "Doesn't look very German," I remarked. "It wasn't, dear. I think it's from, well, these days it's called Kazakhstan. I'm not sure what it was back then." What was Dad doing in Kazakhstan in the army? This would have been back about 1950. My father ran an officers' club in Germany during his national service days. And none of his post-war army after-dinner stories had he mentioned doing anything more than perhaps borrowing a truck without permission or taking delivery of some dodgily sourced whiskey. "Oh," she looked as if she said too much, and then said, "Well, nothing, dear. He didn't like to talk about it." I put the statue with the cufflinks on a small pile of curling black and white photographs I decided to take home with me to scan. I slept in the spare bedroom at the end of the hall that night. The next morning, I went into the room that had been my father's office to look at it one final time. Then I walked across the hall into the living room where my mother had already laid breakfast. "What happened to that little stone carving?" "I put it away, dear." My mother's lips were set.
"Why?"
"Well, your father always said he shouldn't have held on to it in the first place."
"Why not?"
She poured tea from the same china teapot she poured it all my life. "There were people after it. In the end, their ship blew up in the valley because of those flappy things getting into their propellers."
"Flappy things?" She thought for a moment.
"Pterodactyls, dear, with a P.
That was what your father said they were.
Of course, he said the people in the airship deserved all that was coming to them after what they did to the Aztecs in 1942.
"Mum, the Aztecs died out years ago, long before 1942.
"Oh, yes, dear, the ones in America, not the ones in that valley. These other people, the ones in the airship, well, your father said they weren't really people, but they looked like people, even though they came from some place with a funny name. Oh, where was it? Where was it?"
She thought for a while, then said,
"You should drink your tea, dear."
"Yes."
"No. Well, hang on. So, what were these people? And, well, pterodactyls? They've been extinct for 50 million years."
"Well, if you say so, dear.
Your father never really liked to talk about it." She paused. "There was this girl. This was at least 5 years before your father and I started going out. Oh, he was very good-looking back then. Well, I always thought he was handsome anyways. He met her in Germany. She was hiding from these people who were looking for the statue. She was their queen, or their princess, or wise woman, or something. They kidnapped her, and he was with her, so they kidnapped him too. They weren't actually aliens. They were more like those people who, on television, turn into wolves.
Werewolves?
I suppose so, dear." She seems doubtful. "The statue was an oracle, and if you owned it, or if you had it, you were the ruler of these people." She stirred her tea. "What did your father say?" "The entrance to the valley was through a tiny footpath, and after the German girl," well, she wasn't really German, obviously, "but they blew up the path with their ray machine to cut off the way to the outside world. So your father had to make his own way home. He would have gotten into such a lot of trouble, but the man who helped him escaped, Barry Anscombe, he was in military intelligence and..." Hang on. "Barry Anscombe?
Barry Anscombe, who used to come and stay for the weekend when I was a kid, gave me 50p every time, did bad coin tricks, snored, silly mustache, that Barry? Yes, dear Barry. He went to South America when he retired. Ecuador, I think. That was how they met, when your father was in the army. My father once told me that Mother had never liked Barry Anscombe, and that he was just Dad's friend. And? She poured another cup of tea. It was a long time ago, dear. Your father told me all about it once, but he didn't tell the story immediately. Well, we were on our honeymoon. We went to a little Spanish fishing village. It's a big tourist town these days, but back then, nobody's ever heard of it. What was it called again? Can I see it again? The statue? Oh, no, dear. You put it away. I threw it away, my mother said coldly. Then, as if to stop me from rummaging in the rubbish, the bin men have already came this morning. We said nothing then. She sipped her tea. You'll never guess who I met last week. Your old school teacher, Mrs. Brooks. We met in a Safeway. She and I went to have coffee in a bookshop because I was hoping to talk about joining the town carnival committee. But it was closed, so we had to go to ye old tea shop instead. It was quite an adventure. That was Adventure Story by Neil Gaiman. For previous Dialogue stories, visit the archive at kirkwoodpubliclibrary.org.